That unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Wednesday, 8 p.m., and it's time for So What's Your Story? It's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, and alongside a team of staggering skill, Greg Audell, Drs. Warren Holloman and Mary Edgerton, media maven Nicole Rocherlin, and tonight's engineer and sidekick, Tatiana Good. Oh, you like that one? Tatiana Good. We celebrate the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through enchanted worlds and through windows of their souls with personal stories that stretch the boundaries of the human heart. Tatiana, you ready to roll tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
You better believe it, right? Tatiana killed her exams and had a heck of a semester, right?
Yes, I got
all
the
C's. All C's. Okay, gotcha. Well,
she
tis the season to be jolly. Tis the season to be jolly, maybe. But I think customers might have made up that adage. Sure, clients have their own set of yarns about those who render them service with less ability than a tailor without hands. But tonight, we're going to turn the proverbial tables around because to two of my guests, tis the season to be armed, psychologically, that is, against the crazy, goofy, angry, silly, malicious, and downright ridiculously obnoxious customers that sometimes they serve. Then, we're going to travel to the other side of the emotional continuum and rethink the notion of gratitude. So, this evening, we're going to laugh a lot and perhaps cry a little as we explore the emotional shifts that fuel holiday stories. Heather Williams is owner and lead artist for Makeup and Hair by Heather. She's a 14-year veteran in the industry, and she's done thousands of weddings, photo shoots. She's worked in television, film, and stage, crafting the looks of several celebrities. She specializes in vintage hairstyle, and her efforts have showcased in books and magazines as models of artistic excellence. She also works in front of the camera as, in her words, a hot pinup girl herself, and we're, my God, going to find out more about that a little bit later. My good friend Dave Ellis is stylist extraordinaire, which explains why I'm so incredibly good-looking. Right, Dave?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right, okay. I've known him for many years, and it's no hyperbole to label him the best at what he does. He, too, is a celebrity stylist, has worked the red carpet, and made a few residents of the White House look a tad better than they would otherwise. Astonishingly courageous comes to mind when I listen to one of my students, Sheldon Stack, deliver her narrative at a recent UHD oratorical contest. It was her story that catapulted her message into a must-hear for the holidays. Her story isn't about memorable customer service, but instead really about a memorable moment that ignited the strongest kind of thankfulness. She is a junior communication studies major. Sheldon's interested in painting, dancing, film, and wants to pursue a career in radio, so she's definitely in the right place. And she wants to write a book in the young adult horror fantasy romance genre. Young adult horror fantasy, I thought, were synonymous. I don't know. No? You didn't like that one? Okay. She was also a Houston, Texas cheerleader finalist in 2012. Tonight's show is a fusion of tender introspection and the sparkle of slapstick. How everybody's doing? How is everybody?
Fantastic. So good.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Good. My throat is a little. You've heard the story about, you know, the person who walks up to a pony and says, "Can you give a speech tonight?" He says, "I'm a little hoarse." Well, that's me tonight. That's me.
Me too.
All right. Heather, how would you characterize a vintage hairstyle?
Any hairstyle that's you know, from the decades, like from the 1910s, the 1920s. 30s, 40s, all the way through the 60s.
Wow, that's a big range. Name a few icons in that in Hollywood that served as an inspiration for your vintage style.
Veronica Lake is one of the big ones right now with the romantic Hollywood wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you describe a romantic Hollywood wave?
Oh,
I know,
well,
it's visual, but how would you do that?
Let's see. One side kind of pulled back, the other wave, soft waves in front of the eye.
Beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
All right. Sheldon, what motivated you to try out to be a Texas cheerleader?
Well, firstly, I grew up that way. I was a varsity cheerleader all through high school. So I guess...
At Friendswood? You went to Friendswood,
At Friendswood High School,
yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And once high school ended, I guess only so much time could go by until I grew that craving to perform on a football field again.
Right.
I felt a real void, and I had to try out. I had to get into it somehow.
And so. You're proud of that. You're proud of that. You're
yeah,
you're proud
I'm
of
really
that.
It's proud
very,
of
very
it.
Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I also know you love film, and I wonder, have you got a favorite movie? Because you're a big film lover.
I do have a favorite movie. Mm-hmm. It would have to be The Place Beyond the Pines.
And what makes that film such a great story in your mind?
It's so creatively written, and it's just very consuming. It doesn't really feel predictable or mediocre. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a true piece of cinema.
Well, that's great, because there's nothing, there's nothing mediocre about the story that you're going to share with us later. So I'm glad that you like that kind of stuff, because that's exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. Dave, who were the lucky folks on the receiving end of your skill sets?
Well, I was lucky enough, Hank, to be invited to the White House to do a Clinton family wedding. So it was part of the Clinton family.
Now, they invited you, right?
Did they invited me, yes.
So they know you personally?
Well,
kind of, no.
Some of them, yes, absolutely.
Right?
So, okay. And it was beautiful. It was holiday time, and the whole White House was decorated with Chihuly glass Christmas trees.
Whoa.
Beautiful.
Whoa. And who was the most difficult red carpet celebrity that you ever worked with?
Oh, man. Believe it or not, RuPaul last year was really difficult. He was kind of put out to do interviews and pictures.
I mean, I don't know the guy. I don't know why I say really. I believe you.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he's wearing men's clothes. I don't know.
He was out of his element.
He was out of his element. Yeah.
Woo. Let's get some stories. Heather, let's start with you. With all the weddings that you've done, it's no wonder that your first story is entitled Runaway Bride, right?
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Well, I do a lot of weddings, and, you know, we typically start out with a trial, and I met this beautiful girl. She's from Mexico City. Mm-hmm. She was absolutely gorgeous. She sits down in my chair, and we start, you know, kind of having a conversation back and forth. I'm asking her, you know, about her fiance and such, and she tells me, you know, this is her second wedding. And I was like, oh, well, second almost wedding. And I was like, oh, okay, well, what happened with the first one? And she told me she left him at the altar. I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, she's telling me how much in love she is with this man. And goes on and on and on. So, on the day of her wedding, I arrive at her apartment. And all of her family is there, sitting in the living room. And we go back into a back bedroom. And I'm doing her hair and makeup for her wedding. And, you know, I'm having the same conversations with her about, you know, her fiance. I'm like, so are you getting really excited about this and everything? And she's like, yeah, not so much. And I was like, wait, hold on. And she's like, I don't know how I'm feeling about this right now. And I'm like, well, I'm going to keep doing your hair and makeup, and we're going to keep going on about this, you know? And I'm almost done with doing her hair and makeup, and she's just drop dead gorgeous, one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen. And she looks at me and she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to get on the plane and just go on my honeymoon without him. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. So she was like runaway bride two times. So it was really incredibly crazy. I've never had anything like that happen before. So
where did she go by herself? Where did she go?
Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta?
Yeah.
I don't get this. Now, wait a minute. Well, I don't
She had done
this.
It once before.
She's insane. She's not a normal person.
No, not this. At all. Yeah.
So she just likes the idea of...
I think planning the wedding.
Planning the wedding. Getting on the altar,
Maybe getting almost to the altar.
She probably loved the first guy more. At least she got on the altar, no?
Yeah.
Because she
got
didn't get
all
on the
way.
Altar this time.
Yeah. Didn't even
she
get
just
there.
Took off.
Yes.
Right?
It was really kind of crazy.
Wherever she went. Puerto Vallarta.
Twice.
What do you know about the guy she was supposed to marry? What was his response to it all?
I'm not real sure, but I know he was from the United States and was very much so in love with her.
Oh.
And I think she just kind of disappeared on him, so.
Oh, how many times has this ever happened to you?
That is the only time I've ever had a runaway.
Were you suspicious after she told you that she had done this already?
Yeah, I was a little concerned that she was going to cancel her wedding.
Yeah.
And Like, she let me get all the way through.
What were you seeing in her as you were doing her makeup? Did you see something that was sort of unfolding that told you the guy she's about to marry is in trouble?
Yeah. She was texting. I don't know who she was texting. Yeah.
Like another date or what?
Family members, another date. I'm not real sure.
Oh, my God. You know, well, this is a logical question to start with you. Why is it that people get so crazy over the holidays?
It's not a holiday, but kind of it is, right? Family?
Getting married.
Maybe.
Is it family?
I think maybe. Yeah.
People get crazy over the holidays.
Yes.
Dave, what do you think?
I think it's a human nature thing where the holidays come around and everyone wants to have this Norman Rockwell picture perfect holiday.
You are right. You went to college.
Exactly.
Yes,
I had a great instructor.
I did some homework here.
And then you add family, booze, and more people and in-laws.
Right,
and there
you go. Booze will do. Yeah, that's. I did my homework, and that's why I want you to know this is like really spooky because what I have here is. Right? And this is clinical psychology data, and what more could you want, right?
Right.
But society tends to focus on family. We become acutely aware of ruptured or damaged relationships. We try to create an idealized image like a Norman Rockwell, or we kind of duplicate an advertisement of perfection. We get angry when that picture can't be identified. We want it so much, we want to make it happen. And when we realize that our families and our friends are less than perfect, we get frustrated because this is the time we want all of that to happen. You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
A-plus,
really. That is really good. That is really, really good. Now, you know, pros like you, like the two of you, Heather, Dave, the two of you are really utility players because you play a lot of roles. You're artists, you're therapists. I think you're even clergy taking confessions, right?
Yes.
And what I give you a lot of credit in doing is that you solicit some incredible disclosures because you have to really establish trust,
yes,
right? You got to establish a lot of trust. And you guys solicit so much trust. Dave, your first story sort of makes that point because somehow you made it possible for a client to tell you about her cats that needed plastic surgery. I want to say that slowly because I want to make sure that's accurate.
That's right.
Okay.
It's very true.
Let's hear it, man.
I deal with a whole lot of the upper end clientele and
rich people.
Exactly. And crazy people. And, you know, you've heard of people like Doris Duke and Barbara Hutton who have more money than they have sense. Well, some of them are just like that. I have a client of mine who is a private client, and so she calls me over, and she's got this beautiful mid-century house filled with mid-century furniture, and it's all beautifully articulated, and I'm over there, and in walks this furball, and she's like, oh, you have to meet my new kitty. And I'm like, okay, it's a cat. It looks like a Persian. And so she's telling me all about how she had this special cat flown in from Russia on a jet. And she told me that it was a $15,000 cat. And
what?
Then here comes another one. So here's $30,000 of two cats. And they're both so inbred that their noses are in the back of their skull. And I'm kind of giggling because I love crazy rich people, because when you have more money that you know what to do with, it just makes me giggle. And so we're proceeding through, I'm doing her hair and we're talking about things. And of course these cats are snotting and sneezing, and because we live in Houston, and it's a big swamp. So add that to respiratory problems and you've got a formula for disaster. So then she proceeds to tell me that, well, these poor kitties have had all this respiratory problems since arriving from Russia. So therefore, she's going to have them plastic surgery. These little kitties are going to get nose jobs at the tune, I kid you not, at the tune of $15,000 apiece each. So now we're looking at $60,000 here. And I'm just like giggling like the Grinch because it's just so funny that someone would do this. And I love the fact that you love your pets and we all should, but there comes a price tag, I think. So she actually has had these cats have nose jobs, and I have now seen these kitties, and while they look a little bit better and probably are breathing better, I'm fascinated by the story.
are they more attractive? Have they have glamour shots made or anything like that? Or
no, but I think they probably get silhouettes cut because, you know, a nicer nose, it looks better in a profile.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, well, while this isn't the only kind of story you've heard, because your clients are, I mean, I've spent the good fortune of sitting in your shop listening to people, and sometimes I'm amazed and I wonder what continent I'm on. But, you know, when you hear these stories, truly, what unfolds in your mind as you're thinking about these extraordinarily strange people? I may be one of them, I don't know, who shares these narratives with you.
Oh, no, you're not one of them, Hank. But it is funny because my brain goes into, like, pinball machine mode where the little balls go ding, 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 because I get – it's so exciting to just – see the inner workings of that 1% of the population that we really don't have windows into.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Heather and I have an intimate inside portrayal to it because we go to their homes and we see them in their natural habitat.
Natural habitat, like a zoo, a petting zoo? What is their natural habitat? What does that look like?
Oh, you know what? Well, in this one, it's a mid-century house full of mid-century Eames furniture.
So. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nice.
Whoa. Whoa. That's amazing. I've always thought, I hope I'm not insulting anybody here, but I've always had some trepidation about cat people. They're individuals who are, I like them. There's nothing wrong with cat people, but they do have a kind of eeriness, a kind of mystique, a kind of, am I wrong here or what?
Well, you know I'm a cat person, Hank, but yes, right.
Yeah, right. But I know you like cats, but nevertheless, it's
I think it's the aloofness of cats that is attractive to us.
Well, if anybody wants to kill me, just stick me in front of a cat. I've never been more allergic to anything in my life. But I just find that you don't hear those kinds of stories from people with dogs as often.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like when they talk about their dog, they're talking about a really strange brother or, you know, a weird friend. Right, who kind of sleeps in their bed with them. But there are different kinds of stories. Very good. Well, this is Hank Rubicek and Tatiana Gago. Nicole is here, and we're so glad you're here. Nicole, hi. Don't say anything because I know you are so sick it's pathetic. Don't breathe. We're going to catch whatever you got. And we wish you well. And we are here with guest tellers Heather Williams, Sheldon Stack, and Dave Ellis. And we are listening to Holiday Narratives only on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. Meow! 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 Tatiana, although we are the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to cat stories and storytelling, H-Town is a place smothered in great storytelling venues, right?
Right. And the best place to start is with our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. Get to their monthly story swaps held on the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Temple Emanuel at 1500 Sunset. Go to their website, www.houstonstorytellers.org, for upcoming events and all our past So What's Your Story programs. Every show since 2008, listed on the menu under Radio Program. And by the way, if you don't have a radio, it's no excuse for missing our show, because you can listen to us stream live on kpft.org and Facebook Live. Tell us what you think about our shows or suggest program ideas for visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page. And we promise to get back to you. And please be sure to share with your friends, your family, your lovers, or even your enemies. And we love it if you like us on the way out.
Wow, she even improvised a little bit. That's really good. That is really good. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Tatiana. And also, please check out our program clips on YouTube. Don't miss our friends at The Moth at Warehouse Live when next Tuesday the theme is dirt. Dirt. Any of you watch Sesame Street, or did you used to watch Sesame Street? Tatiana's no idea. She's saying, what? Is that like a seed story?
Is that all Studemont?
Yeah. No, but I remember there was
I remember was Elma. Great, what are you Sesame talking
Street
about?
Where Bernie and Ert. But, you know, pay no attention to me out there. Ernie and Bert are talking about rhyme, and Bert is thinking, well, Ernie, can I help you with your homework? And Ernie says, I don't know, Bert. I'm trying to find a word that rhymes with dirt, Bert. Hey, dirt. dirt. Can you think of a word that rhymes with dirt, Bert? And it goes on and on, and I don't know. I guess no one else finds that funny, but that's all right. Think about it a bit and get back to me. You know, dirt, Bert. What else rhymes with dirt, Bert? Yeah. Heart. Tatiana, you work at Janie and Jack in Highland Village.
Yes, I do.
A very...
Petite boutique style store.
Boutique kind of store.
Yes.
The same kind of people, I would dare say, that go to Dave for hair and, to Heather for makeup. Okay. What kind of crazy customers can ruin your day?
Well, they get crazier in the holidays.
Good.
Oh,
nice
absolutely.
Lead in.
Well, for me, this is such a pet peeve that many do because some of them are very indecisive. So they'll grab 20 items of clothing and leave with three. That's the worst for me because I have to put everything back.
Steal the other 17?
No, they'll grab to check out because they're so indecisive, and then they'll just leave with three items.
Do you ever offer them any kind? Do they ever ask you your opinion?
Yes, and then they go with the opposite.
Right. What do they ask you? What's the typical question? What do they want to know about? Which diaper or what?
Which dress looks better? Which dress would look better for this kind of contrast and texture?
And
this is
they
the theme.
Show you a picture of the baby?
Yes, they'll ask me, what size do you think my baby will be? Right. Well, how old is your baby?
Yeah, I once did that with my dog, Simon. I asked somebody, what kind of costume would be best for him for Halloween? Yes. So that's what they ask you.
They assume I'll know the size just by looking at their picture.
How do you like working there?
It's a nice store.
It's a nice store.
It has its benefits. It's fairly close to my house.
But it is crazier around the holidays.
Much crazier.
But I'm wondering why. It's not really a store where people buy things for the holidays. It's more based on necessity, no? Or am I wrong?
Mostly people go in there for gifts. That's pretty much it. But in the holidays, it's now for pictures. That's normally what people go in for.
Okay.
Just pictures. Right. The post on social media. They'll wear it once, and they'll try to return it. Just...
Okay. Sheldon, you work at a seasonal job. You didn't tell us the store, but it's okay. Can you tell us the store or not? You
know? It's actually not a store. I work for an interior design architectural firm.
Uh-huh.
And it's in the design center. It's here in Houston.
Okay. But you say it's a seasonal job.
It is, just seasonal, yeah.
They just want you for the holidays.
Well, they want me more than that. Uh-huh. But only for the holidays is what I'm able to give them.
Is this a place where you run into crazy clients or customers?
To be honest, I've actually been impressed with how well everyone's kind of kept themselves together as far as not losing their minds. And I think it's because everyone already knows what they want for the holidays when they're prepared on what kind of orders they want to make. They have a vision already.
We really don't want to hear about people like this because I didn't
there's no
think
fun.
There was
no
normal
fun.
People.
Right.
So these are people who really have it together.
Yeah, exactly, which is no fun to talk about. So I understand if you want to pull away from this conversation.
Well, then, if you're in that kind of spirit, then we're moving right along because you know what? Let's go from the silly, Sheldon, to the sublime with your story. Because your story is, I really I love the story. I love the story. You know that I do. Because it speaks to the ultimate blessing that all of us seek, life. And we want to be able to put things in perspective for the holidays because with all the crazies in the world, we just have to realize why we are celebrating the holidays. And I think that your story so poignantly makes that statement. Please tell us your story.
Okay, well, so I guess I could start from when it started. The night of March in 2015, I was in a car wreck. I was on my way home from the rodeo. And, you know, it started as this beautiful, euphoric night with lights and just fun. And I never anticipated that something bad would ever come my way that night. And I was hit by a drunk driver, and the next thing I knew, I was on a hospital table connected to IVs with morphine, and I was in a coma. And, you know, that was pretty brutal to swallow, and that led to just, I was being hospitalized for 2 months, and I went to rehab for about a month and a half. And it was just an overall, all-encompassing, life-changing event. And not just biologically in my body from the things I suffered and the things I sustained from it, but mentally and emotionally, and my heart and my mind were reshaped with new perspectives and new outlooks, for sure. I mean, I had a brain injury, and that's kind of a rarity. You don't really hear people talk about a brain injury. So I do like to shine light on it and its importance, because it is. And I broke 7 bones. It was definitely a close to fatal accident. And, you know, I honestly can't emphasize enough, and I can't describe it. I struggle so much when I try to impress upon people how much I can feel every day myself changing. And I feel, when I say that, I mean, I feel more like myself. So after my brain injury, I felt like I lost parts of myself, because whether it was the behaviors I couldn't remember, or certain things I did, and the certain ways I thought. And so day to day, these things all come back to me, you know, they're all coming back. And it's like I'm reinventing Sheldon and putting these puzzle pieces together to create a new form of myself and reach a new level, which I think is a blessing. I don't look at it as something that was, I don't pity myself and sulk. I think that the worst, yes, it was the worst day of my life. I would be lying if I didn't say that, but it definitely was the best thing that ever happened to me. So.
When you woke up, you said you were in a coma. You were in the accident, and you don't remember anything about the accident, really.
No.
You found yourself waking up in the hospital, right?
Right.
That's the first time that you were conscious.
Yes.
What's the first thing you saw?
To be honest, I only know what I've been told, because waking up on that hospital bed and being injected to all of these different medicines or painkillers, morphine, these types of heavy things, I was so just completely out of it. And so what I've been told from my family was, when I woke up from my coma, firstly, I was speaking fluent Spanish. Yeah. And so from a background, you know, I did take it in high school, and I wasn't fluent. I didn't have it in my heritage, but I learned it educationally. And I guess what I had learned was still, it had been retained in my brain, and I still had it back there. I had all the information and I had access to it. And that something about waking up from the coma, I can't remember how the doctors described it, but waking up from a coma triggered those parts of my brain that held that information. And, you know, when I woke up from the coma, I don't know, I just started speaking Spanish to folks, and I thought I was in South America, and I thought it was pretty impressive. But you know, it was one of the most, I can't really emphasize how brutal and how just, I guess, how breaking, how groundbreaking it was, you know, to have walked in that room, no matter who you were, no matter if you knew me, if you didn't know me, if you were a family member, if you were a friend, to walk in the room and to just see me on the bed, whether I was in the coma or I was awake, it was so groundbreaking to see that. And it was just to wake people up and see, you know, wow, like life, it can be taken from you, mm-hmm. like that. And that's how it happens.
Yeah. What motivated you to tell this story in that oratorical contest? Why did you want to tell this story to the masses, so to speak?
To be very honest, whenever I stumble upon things like this, you know, the prompt for the contest was, speak about a time that you overcame an adversity. And the first thing absolutely that comes to my mind is my car wreck. And I do feel like I hold a duty to tell people my story and to explain it and how it changed me and the way that it changed my entire life, because it did. And I was proud, you know, I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not saddened by it even. I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to release that to people, to let them know, you know, I went through all of these events, mm-hmm. and these circumstances, and I'm stronger because of it, and I'm standing here, and I want I want people to understand that they can do that too. Obviously, I would never wish the same circumstances upon people, but people, I want people to know that if you have a brain injury or if you have whatever other situation that you're coming into, you can get through it. You can overpass it. You can triumph over it.
And there's actually a story here that I'd like you to tap into, if you don't mind. Sheldon was a student of mine this semester, did a great job, and you were taking an exam, remember, and I graded it. You did a great job, and you were mildly shocked, remember? You were mildly surprised.
Yes.
And I asked you why you were surprised, and you told me a story about how rehab changed your life. Mm-hmm. Can you shed some light on that for us?
Yeah. You know, I do. I'm glad you said that, because over a course of all the events that happened after my accident, going through hospitalization and going to rehab, rehab definitely sticks out to me the most, because if I could really summarize what or a best description would be of my time there, I would say viciously beneficial. And I say that and I pick those words because it was vicious. It felt so brutal, you know, it felt so hard and it was so difficult, but it was so beneficial. It was so, and not just in a medical, physical way of the healing of my brain and the healing process of my bones and my body and just coming back to normality. It's just also beneficial towards my mind, the change in my mentality and the reshaping of my heart. Just, it was so viciously beneficial. It was so hard and difficult, but it came out with a silver lining. And
what this is a hard question, but what do you want us to know about you? What do you want us to know about you? What's the last impression or the impression that you want to give us right now about who you are? Because these stories are very moving, and frankly, I give you much credit telling it. I'm not so sure that I would be as comfortable talking about these kinds of things on the air, but this is what makes you special in the sense that you're courageous enough to do it, and I know that we all appreciate that. But what is it that you want us to know about you? Just in a few words.
Honestly, it's not so much what I want people to know about me, but more so what I would want them to take from me.
Okay.
And I would translate that into, don't give up. Have all the resilience in the world, no matter what you face, no matter what comes into your life, whether it's emotional or physical. I don't care what the adversity is. Do not give up. Because you are fully capable and you are fully able to get past it and get through it and come out twice as strong, twice as better on the other side every time.
Yeah, no matter who we are.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was, you know, that's a tough story to tell, because there are many different routes that you want to take when you tell that kind of a story, because it was such a comprehensive one and it was such a difficult one, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Heather, let's move on to you with something a little more uplifting, because you're going to talk to us about your hot pinup girl reputation, aren't you?
Are you really a hot pinup girl? It seems like a lifetime ago.
I know that, but
I know.
But look at you. Yeah. You look like a hot pinup girl. Right?
Not today.
Yes, you do. But tell us about that.
I have been featured in magazines, wow. International magazines.
Are we the kind that we're going to fold out and put on?
Yeah.
Our
locker and even
door?
A coffee table book.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, tell us more about that. How'd that all come about?
Well, I went and did a pinup photo shoot for my husband for his birthday.
Hmm.
And,
really?
Yeah.
What
and upon
gift.
Doing that.
What a great gift.
Yeah.
Peggy.
Are you listening,
yeah.
Peggy?
Yeah. Hey, I can hook
nice
her up.
Gift.
I know some
yeah.
people.
I'm not getting in trouble tonight.
But from there, it just kind of snowballed. Like, all of a sudden, my picture was in magazines, then my picture was in books, and I was signing autographs and stuff, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You still do that?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm 44.
You're 44?
Yes.
Wow. You know that I think I'm old enough to be your father. Isn't that right? Yeah, that is sick, but I am.
No,
I am. Oh,
you don't
I
look
am.
A day over 44.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. My God, you'd be surprised. Do you know what time it is, everybody? Everybody?
What time is it?
It is time for Tip for the Teller. How do you like that, right? Okay. Tip for the Teller, it's a short segment when we suggest ways to darn your yarn. You have a great first line and a last line to your stories, folks. The first line captures us and never lets us go, and the last line is like a gymnast nailing it. So instead of opening up with something like, my legs felt weak and I was nervous, try something like, I couldn't keep my legs from wobbling, and I had a lump in my throat as big as a golf ball. It traveled down in my gut and stayed there. Don't end with something like, it was a great date. Instead, how about something like, I couldn't wait 5 minutes to see her face and hear her voice again. I didn't have to. I turned around and ran. You know, you have to admit, I'm pathetically romantic.
Romantic.
Really, right?
I mean,
that's,
I know the truth.
I know. Listen, what can I tell you? It's a curse. It's a curse. Dave and Heather, I'm sure the customers prompt you guys to say things that wish you hadn't said. Dave, I know. Okay. This is your cue, my friend, because you have a story that really speaks to that, right?
Oh, yes.
Let's hear it.
The saying, you stuck your foot in your mouth, doesn't begin to tell mine. I stuck my foot, my knee, my leg, all the way down my throat. I was hired by Swarovski Crystal to work Fashion Week. And sometimes we don't even know who we're seeing. It's like, this is the hotel, and this is the room number. Very Harvey Weinstein. And so I show up at the St. Regis, and... knock on the door, and lovely lady answers the door, and so she's a stylist, and I'm doing my job, and we're talking, and I proceed to go on about, this is at the height of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen being hounded by the tabloids, and I'm going on about how they look like bag ladies, they look homeless, they look like they crawl out of a dumpster, you know, every possible bad adjective you could even describe someone. It was just flying out of my mouth like moths. Then she stops and tells me, oh, they're my clients. It's amazing how a six-foot man can shrink to about 3 inches in like a nanosecond. So, but she did put a nice positive spin on that, though. So she explained how, you know, for all of us that are just normal people in society, that every time you step out of your house to go get your mail, every time you step out of your house to get your garbage cans in, every time you step out to run and get a coffee at Starbucks, or in that case, tea leaf and coffee bean, there's always paparazzi stalking you. So the likelihood of bad pictures is higher. And then she asked me, well, have you ever gone to the grocery store in pajama pants and Crocs? And I'm so sorry to have to admit this, but I have, about midnight.
Don't tell anybody.
So... I'm guilty of my own crime there, but you know, I was glad she wasn't mad about it. She actually enlightened me, which is a very nice thing that she did.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Another weirdo. Oh, my God. You guys want to hear some really true dialogues? I read a couple before
yes.
the show. Yeah. Caller, can you give me the telephone number for Jack? And the operator says, I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand who you're talking about. And the caller says, on page one, Section 5 of the user guide, it clearly states that I need to unplug the fax machine from the AC wall socket and telephone Jack before cleaning. Now, can you give me the number for Jack? And the operator says, I have no idea how to handle that one. No idea what to say. Because, you know, what do you say to a person like that?
It's long distance.
It's long distance. A caller says, does your European breakdown policy cover me when I'm traveling in Australia? The operator says, does the product name give you a clue? You don't like that one? These are published. Okay. Then there was the caller who asked for a knitwear company in Woven. The operator said, Woven? Are you sure? And the caller said, yes, that's what it says on the label, Woven in Scotland. People have no sense of humor. Now you're just forcing it. Sheldon, you're forcing it. You don't find that funny, but it's okay. Think about it, because it was funny, whether you thought so or not. Okay. Dave Ellis, Heather Williams, and Sheldon Stack on So What's Your Story? Pacifica Radio, powered for peace. KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Next week, Jennifer Hoisington, a scary, creepy teller discovered at the October Moth, will have you pulling blankets over your head when Mary Edgerton takes us on a trek into Frightville. Lots of fun as we move deeper into the holiday season. Sheldon, I wanted to ask you about that writing interest of yours, about the interest in writing a young adult horror romance. Tell us what that consists of. What in the world is that?
Yeah, it's like genre-ed over so many items, I feel like. You know, this is a idea that really flew into my head since high school, and I'm not sure why, but I've been developing it since then. And when I say developing, I mean in my mind and brainstorming. And honestly, it's a romance based off of long, long, long ahead. I'm going to depict it in the future, mm-hmm. in an area of time where basically people can afford housing in like such places that were once owned by royal figures. So castles, palaces in India, those things, like a certain part of the masses, the obviously more wealthy part, will be able to afford those things. I haven't figured out the details, but basically there's a girl, she is dead and she's a ghost. She doesn't know that she's dead. And wow. There's a boy that moves into this castle with his wealthy family who can afford to purchase this castle and during this era. And the boy moves into her room and she's there, not alive, but she's there nonetheless. And he falls in love with her and they fall in love with each other. But the thing, I guess the trick really to the story is she doesn't really realize that she's dead. And so it's just this unfolding story of love, you know, kind of that, you know, she's obviously deceased. She's not alive and he is. And so it really, I guess, shows a lot of light on how is that kind of relationship going to work? You know, how are they going to make it work? And that's going to unfold for me is when I come up with that. But I guess it's horror because I wanted to really implement some scariness and some detail to the fact that she's a ghost. She's not alive. And I felt like I couldn't leave that horror element out of that. I couldn't disregard that. And I don't know, I'm really excited about it. I think it's a Twilight kind of concept, if you will, mm-hmm. but it's definitely far off on the idea. There's no vampires or werewolves. But yeah, it's just the ghostly world, that element of, you know, not all the way gone, but not all the way here.
Right.
And right. I think it'll be really interesting. So
sort of like ghostly purgatory.
Exactly.
Am I alive?
Or the DMV. Like
exactly. Yes.
That is fascinating. That's great.
Yeah. Very,
well, when you're a DJ on the UHD iRadio that's going to be launched this spring, you could actually tell that story.
That's
you
know good. That. I would
you can
like
actually
to do that,
do that right? And then save it for Halloween next year. My God, you know, I wanted to jump into something because I know we hadn't necessarily planned this, but you had something happen of some fiasco offstage, like backstage fiasco. Didn't you have anything like that, Heather? Was it you that had some kind of backstage fiasco? No?
Oh, there's times there's always backstage fiasco.
There's always backstage fiasco.
About that because there's
all of them are backstage fiascos.
You know, something about that. So
it's always chaos.
Because just curious. Okay, just curious. Well, nevertheless, in any event, you have had, you know, you've dealt with a lot of celebrities as well.
Yes.
A lot of celebrities as well. But you've also dealt with some athletes.
Yes.
Right? And you have a story about a professional football player.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
got hired on to do hair and makeup for a national sports television show.
Okay.
And we were going from different places with their host and mm-hmm. a football player here in Houston.
Right.
We went to, you know, like a gym, and we went to another place that we were, you know, doing interviews at. And the final interview was at his home.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled up in front of a beautiful home in Bel Air. It was a gorgeous house on the outside. You know, you're thinking, these people knew. I've known for a few months that I was mm-hmm. going to do this interview, mm-hmm. do hair and makeup. Opened the doors to this beautiful home, and it was like a frat party had happened. There was trash everywhere. Mm-hmm. There was no place for us to, like, set up to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
The football player was nowhere to be found.
Uh-huh.
He was
his
late
house.
Back right. to the interview.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
insanity. Like, when we finally got to the area where we were supposed to be doing, you know, the interview, and there was sticky cups and baby bottles and leftover cigars and all of that. It was really crazy. And so they had to crop, like, try to figure out how to frame all of these, you know, shots to try to frame out all of the disaster around this. It was pretty crazy. I can't imagine, you know, knowing that, you know, someone was going to be coming to your home and not even caring, yeah. like having no care in the world.
You can't tell us the name of the football player, can you?
Probably not.
Someone yeah. we would know?
He's a Houston Texan.
Yeah, probably
yeah,
someone
yeah,
we
yeah.
know. Recently?
Pretty recent,
yeah. I gotcha. And now you were at the house for what reason again? To conduct an interview with him?
Yeah, I was doing hair and makeup for someone that was doing an interview with him.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. What other celebs
staffing.
Have you worked with? I know you've worked with other celebrities.
Jacqueline Smith.
Yeah?
Let's see. Hannah Storm.
Sports person.
Sports
yeah.
person, yeah.
She used to be here for many years.
Yeah, she was on air for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, she was with Moby and Matthews.
Yes, she
right?
sure was.
She tells you how old I am.
Yeah. Hey, I remember her.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting,
very
styling
cool.
that wig.
Very cool. Very, very
that
cool.
That was a
very
really
good,
big
yeah.
wig.
Who was the storyteller, Heather, in your home growing up? Was there a storyteller?
My grandmother.
Yeah, your grandmother.
My grandmother.
You know, it's frequently the grandparents. Frequently
yeah.
the grandparents. Tell us the kind of story she would tell you.
She tells us, she's still, to this day, she's 85.
Wow.
And she still tells us, like, perfect stories from
yeah.
her childhood.
Yeah.
She remembers everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they grew up on farms. They didn't have, you know, plumbing inside. And, you know, there was a lot of hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, made it happen. And she's...
Where did she grow up?
Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Do they have running water there now?
Yes, they
still?
Sure do.
Did I just insult everybody from Indiana? Okay, I'll just say.
They have a lot of corn.
Right.
A lot of corn.
Yeah.
And basketball players.
Yeah. Is she's here. She lives in Houston now?
No, she's in Indiana.
You visit
yeah.
her frequently?
Maybe
yeah.
every couple of years.
But it's mostly stories about her life.
Yeah,
right?
stories
yeah.
about her life
yeah.
as
yeah.
A young person.
Yeah, Sheldon, how about you? Do you have a storyteller you remember growing up? Mom, dad, grandparent?
You know, I would honestly say that would have...
You like to say that, honestly. Are you a liar?
Right? Are you trying to convince us of
honest.
Something?
Yeah,
what are you trying to convince us of?
I'm just letting you know, we believe you.
No, okay, thank you guys. So, I guess, truthfully, I don't know. You'll have me on the pressure now. My mother,
mm-hmm.
My mom was a big storyteller for sure, and I get a lot of that from her. I often get so... I guess my friends get so mad or frustrated with me
mm-hmm.
because when I they ask me a question and I go into such detail and I'm so vivid and descriptive about everything that happened, about everything that occurred and what time and who was wearing what and was my hair up or down. And everyone's like, we don't care about the details. Like, no one cares that there was a rainbow that day. We just want to know how it ended.
Yeah.
And I get that from my mom a lot. She was,
wow.
But I always loved that. And I I don't know, I really liked how she, it could have been a story about going to the grocery store and it turned into a storytelling time.
A great connection, right? Yeah. Great connection. Yeah. That's beautiful. Dave, what about you?
Hands down, my father. He was with Houston Police Department for like 45 years before he died. And we had a set dinner time every night where the entire family sat down for dinner, and we would all talk about our day. It was very Norman Rockwell's Wet Dream. But anyway, so he would tell us the stories of the day, and funny, and sometimes sad. But it was good because as we're all sitting around the table here telling stories, it was very much like dinner time at our house, and he would ask about our days and show a very good interest. And so it was a nice family moment, and to this day, you know, I have a big shout-out to my family because they give me great stories to tell, and
they do.
I probably give them too.
Yeah, and you tell me some of your stories about your family, and they're quite entertaining.
They are
quite
great stories.
They are. They are very good entertaining.
But you're a good storyteller. All of you are. You're a really good storyteller. But, you know, I'm always fascinated when I, you know, stylists, makeup artists, because you guys are really innately a good storyteller. You have to. And you've got to be a really good listener first. You've got to listen to things, my God, that extract stuff. That
and
I
a
never
good communicator, too, because it's all in the details, like Sheldon was saying.
Right.
It's good about details.
Right.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Right. You have to be able to sequence it and really put it in chronology to make sense. And I know you've always talked very proudly about your father, and I've always been impressed by that. Always been impressed by that. He was with HPD how many years?
45 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God. My God. Don't you have another quick 2-3 minute story that you can tell us? Didn't you have another one, like a third story that you kind of had in the back of your mind?
Well, I guess I could tell the one about the Romanian gypsy lady.
Yeah. So, go ahead. No, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Very early in my career, and I'm sorry, this is a little coarse, so for you adult listeners out there, early in my career, I was working in a salon in the Galleria. And we would have a problem with groups of families that would come in and they would get all kinds of services, hair, makeup, everything. And then, of course, when it became time to pay the bill, they would all of a sudden have no credit card, no money, no nothing. Anyways, I always got stuck with like the grandma of the bunch. And one time in particular, this woman, I don't know how old she was, but I was 25 at the time, and she had like one tooth in her head, and she kept pinching my bottom. She
sexual harassment.
In the workplace, I know.
Ooh.
And me too. And so anyways, so she asked for my business card, and you know, I'm trying to be accommodating, I'm trying to be a professional, which is not what anyone would say about me, that I'm professional. and so anyways, she takes my business card and puts it down the front of her pants and says, "I'm gonna keep this someplace real special." If I could have projectile vomited at that moment. But it didn't make me laugh, though, because, again, you know, it's the crazy world in which we live in, because we're dealing with people's vanity, and we get all kinds of characters, hair and makeup, all kinds of characters.
One of the things that I admire about you both, Dave, is that you can paint verbal pictures so incredibly well. You know that?
Thank you, Hank.
Somehow the visualization there, somehow I got it. Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
I can't get it out of my head. It's
rare that I'm lost for words, but I don't even have a word, not even a word that comes to mind. Any shout outs? Heather, who do you want to know? Who do you want to say hello to?
Say hello to my lovely husband and my three beautiful children.
What's his name?
Devin.
Devin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And your children. What do you want to say to them?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi,
go to bed.
Right. How old are your kids?
21, 9, and 5.
Yeah. That 21-year-old better be in bed by now. My God.
You better believe it.
But it's your first time on the radio.
Yes,
did it is.
Did
you have fun?
Yes, I did.
You did? You sure?
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Because we want you back.
Oh, I'll
Sheldon,
come back.
Sheldon, any shout-outs?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely shout-out to my mom, Renee Stack. I love you, and you're just amazing, and I'm sorry. I know I sound predictable, but you just...
What?
You should be told this.
That's unpredictable. What's predictable? You mean telling your mom?
It's predictable that a shout-out for your mother, how much you love her,
Oh, no,
you and everybody else.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That is a beautiful gesture. I don't mean to sound like a Hallmark card, but that is a beautiful gesture. I've asked this question a lot, and very few people say, "Hi, Mom, I love you." So it's not as predictable as you think. And it's beautiful.
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
Who else? Anybody else?
Yeah. My mom, and, you know, I'm going to stick with the family. My dad, you know, Dad, I love you, and I think you're awesome, and I'm so happy that I can talk to you every day. I'm so blessed to have you.
You have a great relationship with him, huh?
And, yeah, good. And my sister.
Dave, how about you? That woman who put that thing down your pants? Anybody?
Why did she put it on her pants?
Excuse me.
Crazy. Did you get her name?
I don't know.
I don't remember it so long ago, but the visual is still there in my mind.
Oh, my God. It will be with us for some time. Oh, it will be exactly. With us
it'll
for
be
some
with
time.
All of us.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm so sorry to taint y'all.
You got a lot of friends in town, right? A lot of people listening
in.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to my wonderful family because I do love them so much at this holiday time. Right. And you make me crazy, but you give me great stories to tell. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And also, I want a big shout out for everybody in the hair and makeup industry because y'all all know what we're talking about. And thank you because mm-hmm. you all keep us all sane as well. So
beautiful. You know, I also want to wish our friends in the Jewish community a very happy Hanukkah. Get those latkes a frying, huh? And those candles a burning. Congratulations. A beautiful, beautiful holiday it is. Thank you, Sheldon Stack, Dave Ellis, and Heather Williams for your collective wit, wisdom, and inspirational spirits. And I do want you back on So What's Your Story. We get a lot of people back in year three that we definitely want back. Dave, you've been here before?
Yes, sir.
We'll make it a third time. That's awesome. Definitely true. Mention this program to your customers, friends, family, whoever will listen, okay? Don't you dare move, because Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avenger will be reaching out in the darkness with cool classics for the very cooler you. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turn it in for the night or just chilling, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story and treasure what you hear. You keep loving a great story and we're going to keep bringing them to you. This is Hank Rupacek, and along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Thousands of you have heeded the call, but there's always room for more. You can find KPFT on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. From our latest updates to funny videos, contests, news, and more, you can find us anytime, day or night. We're at KPFT Houston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'd love to give you the latest. Plus, you're already on Facebook. Why not get behind the scenes of Houston's leader for independent music, arts, ideas, and culture right now? Again, find us at KPFT Houston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. See you there.
We want to thank you, the listeners, and those who contributed to our successful fall fund drive. This is Interim General Manager Larry Winters asking you to please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to your favorite Pacifica Foundation station, KPFT. This can be done in several different ways. You can call our business department at extension 314 at 713-526-4000 during business hours, or go to kpft.org, or go to kpftfacebook.com/kpfthouston. Then click on the donate button, and don't forget, you're listening to KPFT 90.1 in Houston.
Like Bonnie and Clyde. Johnny and June, nothing to gain, nothing to lose. 1 foot in the grave, 1 foot up on the gas. There's mountains to climb, giants to slay, lessons to learn, prayers to pray.